The one and only Pastor Rick Dietzman. He's been a busy young man the last couple of weeks. Rick started up something new.
Yeah, the Discerning Your Life journey had a great turnout. It was
fantastic.
Yeah,
over 75 people, I think.
Yeah, at the beginning. Kind of went down a little bit, but it was good. And we'll keep going on our step classes. We're going to keep running it. So a couple times a year we'll have it. Fantastic, though, to see everybody go through that.
Awesome, thanks.
Okay, we're going to read from Daniel chapter 1. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom.
Most of the time, what we know allows us to act from a position of information, of wisdom. And isn't it true, most of the time, we look a little foolish because of what we don't know, what we haven't thought through. We're to the place in Daniel where he and his small group have been in training. And now we're going to see what the king thinks about the training that the young man have gone through. And the Bible is very clear. It's important for us to know. It's important for us to learn, to have an education. Proverbs, do yourself a favor and learn all that you can. Then remember what you earn. And you, what you learn, and you will prosper. My right eye is still focusing. It's getting there. So if we learn things, that's a good thing. And if we learn how to apply those to our life, then that usually means that our learning is worthwhile. It allows us to prosper and succeed. The Bible also says that we should be a little discerning in what we're learning. Proverbs 4:14. Your education, what you're learning, will direct your life, so guard it well. Is it true the information that you have informs your life, and it usually helps you move in a particular direction? And when the learning is good, then it moves us in a good direction. Oh, but if the learning is, well, not so good, then it moves us in a not-so-good direction. The point being made is that we want to be a little discerning. Daniel and his crew had to be a little discerning. And the reason for that is that they were learning the myths, the lore, the incantations of an odd, ungodly country. Indoctrinate them in the Babylonian lore, the myths, and of magic and of fortune-telling. Now, when it gets to magic, and this is really black magic, this is not the magic that entertains you with cards. This is black magic. This is serious stuff. I lived in the East Bay of San Francisco, and I can tell you, when it comes to all of these things, there are practitioners that are as serious about this as we are about our Christian faith. And so we do need to be discerning about what we're learning, what we're allowing to influence our life. And Daniel and his crew had to do that. Why? Because they were being indoctrinated into the Babylonian culture, and part of that was to know the lore, the myths, how to do magical things, incantations. So it's good for us to be very, very discerning and wise. Now notice as we get to verse 17 today that Daniel and his crew are not only learning, but they're revealing the fact that they're wise. And why do they have this aptitude to learn, and why do they have a great wisdom? Here's why. God. I want you to notice that. It's God. We often think it's us. We're smart. We got more PhDs floating around this church than most colleges. The net worth of those that live in Squim is out of the park. Out of the park. And if we are not very discerning about how you got there, who gave you that above average IQ? That genius IQ? Who gave you the self-discipline to study and study and study some more? Study, study, study. The opportunity, in this day and age, the money to go to college and graduate school. Where'd that all come from? Well, ultimately, it comes from God. And here, the scriptures want to make that very clear to us. The goodness and the intellect of these young men, well, it's from God. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for learning both the literature and the science of the time. See, God's at work. Now, they're in an awful place. You know, just a little while ago, they were hanging out playing a little stickball in Jerusalem. Now where are they? Their lives have been besieged, and now they're in a foreign country, and they're happy they've been picked to go the easy route. They didn't get sent to the work camp. They saw something in Daniel and his friends, and they were selected to be a part of this elite group of young leaders. All they have to do is indoctrinate them to the ways of the Babylonians. They understand their culture really well. They'll be the go-between. They're the ones that will get everything done. And so in the midst of all this, don't be surprised that we read that God is already working. In fact, he started his work a long time ago, did he not? And how these young men were created. How they came into the world. We often think if we're smart and we're educated and we got a lot of money, somehow all this besieging is going to miss us. Oh, I can tell you it doesn't. It doesn't. And I don't want you to go away from here this morning thinking because things are really bad in my life right now, somehow God isn't in that. No, he doesn't cause it. We live in an original sin world, but he's with you. He is with you. He is with you. Now we'll go down to verse 20. Whenever the king consulted them in any matters requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in the entire kingdom. How do we know God's at work? 10 times more. How do we know God is at work? Because they stood out. If the king wanted wisdom and balanced judgment, who did he go to? Well, we'll learn a lot more of that next week. He goes to them. Why? Because God is with them, and they're able to do things that they could never do under their own human power. Something that would never be achieved by some incantation, some black magic, some witchcraft. Learning. How do we maximize our spiritual learning? Well, number one, we need to see that we need to see and realize that what we learn adds into our lives, and it has a lot to do with how our lives are directed, both in our daily life, but also in our life of faith. So now let's go back to verse 20. Teach these young men, that was the beginning. Now notice the end. What's the end of the learning period that they've gone through? The end result, in all matters of wisdom and balanced judgment, the king found them 10 times more capable. So let's look at those two things, learning and wisdom. Learning is about knowledge. Knowledge is about gaining information through education or experience. I love that. You learn in a classroom, but you also learn in the school of hard knocks, don't you? Now, you don't have to learn in those circumstances, but we gain information, don't we? Now, honestly, the downside of knowledge is that just knowledge, information, doesn't really answer all the big questions in life. Have you noticed that? I mean, even if you took a philosophy class when you were in college, and I took enough to have a minor in philosophy, we didn't learn anything about answering the big questions in life. Oh, we did a lot of if, therefore, but in terms of exploring who I really am, why am I here? What is my purpose in life? What do I do when my life is being besieged, when bad things happen to me? Oh, we talked a lot about philosophically how bad things might happen to you, but that question was never answered. I don't believe that knowledge really answers that question. Wisdom does. And wisdom is simply seeing your life, the lives of others, through the perspective of God, of God's Word. We get to know God and how to live out our God life in a day-to-day way, right here. We need wisdom. In fact, if it got down to being wise or having knowledge, wisdom's the one we're always looking for, isn't it? Why? Oh, we're all really smart. Oh, we've had some real success in our life. We got a great bottom line. And then our lives get besieged. And now we don't have a way forward. We don't have answers to that. You know, all the chemistry and calculus, all the history, all the art that we painted, all the extracurricular activities that we participated in, those aren't always the answer for our besieging. We know a lot, but knowledge and wisdom are very different from one another. Listen to Proverbs. All wisdom comes from the Lord, and so do common sense and understanding. God gives helpful advice to everyone who obeys Him. How do you get the wisdom God wants to give you? You have to do what? Obey Him. You got to start heading in the right direction. Right? It always cracks me up. There's people who want to study all this highfalutin theology. And I studied plenty of it. And it's complex. And it's interesting to do so, but I've been around a lot of people. They know all the views of Reformation history, but they don't live it on a daily basis. I went to school with people who are getting PhDs in New Testament, and they don't even believe that Jesus rose from the dead. See, that's knowledge and foolishness. Foolishness. Obey him in the small things. Have you noticed you want to avoid the small things? We don't want to be obedient to God in the small things, like showing up to worship, tithing, lending a hand, even if it's just for an hour or so. See, obedience in the small things will lead to the large things. If you're faithful in the small things, God will allow you to be faithful in larger things. Why God's perspective? Because it's eternal. Anybody take a class in college and graduate school that was taught from an eternal perspective, other than if you went to seminary or a Bible college? No! Now, that doesn't make it awful. That doesn't make it terrible. It doesn't even mean it can't contribute to your wisdom. But if this life is all about preparing for the next life, if eternity is the most important thing in all that has been created, then being obedient to God in the small things is very important. Aspiring to allow your faith to be the lenses by which you look at everything in life. Problem is our vision from an eternal perspective is a little spotty in our life, isn't it? We like these spots and these spots, but ooh, these spots over, ooh, that might cost me a little bit. No, that's going to be inconvenient. Our spiritual learning and understanding the Bible is very important. Study God's Word continually. If you do, you will be what? Prosperous and successful. Really? If I read this book, I'm gonna get prosperous and successful more than you would on your own. More than you would on your own. I'm not saying everybody's gonna get rich, although, you know, the average income in Squim is pretty high. The net worth of people in Squim is extremely high. But how many of you have run into a rich fool in your life? Oh, it's in here, by the way. There are penniless wise people, and there are rich, knowledgeable people who are foolish. So we take studying the Bible, grappling with what it says very seriously here at Squim Community Church. Why? Because I don't want you to run around being little fools. We want you to be wise in everything that you do. And to be wise, you need an eternal perspective on your life. Now, personally, I think that's a very energizing, worthy thing to commit your life to. The idea that people around you that you know and love and appreciate are going to hell, that ought to motivate you a little bit. Maybe that's the reason Rick had over 75 people in his new opportunity to learn something. Learn something about yourself personally. Learn about God, how God wants to use you to do eternal things. And he wants to use all of us for eternal things. All of us. I think we have to surround ourselves in this world with other people who value the Word of God and are striving to live out their life from an eternal perspective. Let's go back again to 19. When the 3-year training period was over, none impressed the king more. Now, there were a lot of other people other than the little small group that Daniel got together. Right? Who's in this small group? You got Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There were lots of other young men who met the initial criterion to be in this group. But when the king interviewed them all, why was it that these guys were so impressive? They were impressive because God was with them. God was with them. And because they looked at their life from a godly, eternal perspective, that gave them great wisdom and what? Balanced judgment. Man, some people need more balanced judgment. Some days I need more balanced judgment. We need wisdom. We all want that. We all aspire towards that. So we need to gather a few around and you know, the, can you say small groups? That's what I'm talking about. Everybody really needs to be in a small group. Why? You grow better together than you do alone. Hebrews. Let's gather together, as is our tradition, so that we can learn how to do what? Love and encourage everybody else around us. You know, when your life's being besieged, you need a small group. Don't ever try to take that stuff on all by yourself. In this church, you never have to walk all by yourself. Last week, the church was the church with 3 different people. There was a lot of walking, driving, food taking, prayers being made, visitations by people. If you're going to face difficult things, you don't want to face those alone. And honestly, if I have to face it with somebody, you guys are awesome to hang with. You guys are there. You don't just talk the talk. You what? Walk the walk. The path that's hardest to walk with another person is when their life is being besieged. Why? You love them. You've prayed for them. And in this moment, it's hard to see that God is with them. But here's the deal. You're part of God's plan to be with that other person. You're a part of that plan. Because if you're there and you're coming with a positive, prayerful attitude, then you're the one that bestows the presence and the power of God upon another person. Notice it says, when 2 or more are gathered in my name. That doesn't mean when you're all by yourself, Jesus doesn't show up. Don't misunderstand that. But there is a power in our prayer when we're united with other Christians. And so when we can't find God in the midst of what's going on in our life, as I've said other times before, go find somebody that's faithful and doing well and steal some of their faith. Borrow some of their wisdom. Open yourself up to letting them encourage you. It's just what you need. Yeah, you need tears. And you do need time by yourself. You do need your own prayer and your own study. But I believe the other thing we need is is other people. Other people to encourage us. So if we're wise and we understand the difference between knowing a lot of information and being able to wisely apply it to our lives, that happens best when we have an eternal perspective. Doesn't it make a difference? An eternal perspective makes all the difference in the world on how you spend your time, talent, treasure, and touch. That's everybody's got the same resources. Maybe a little more in one area than the other, but we got the, that's common to us. How we use them, how we utilize them, where we apply those resources tell us a lot about whether we have an eternal perspective or just an earthly perspective. And there is a great reward along the way. Notice, I think the reward is twofold. One, it's practical. Notice, the king saw them as 10 times better than the others. 10 times. Take any multiple. Maybe your multiple is not 10. Maybe your multiple is only 2. Maybe somebody else's multiple is 100. Remember those that were stewarding the landlord's money. Some got 2 talents and another guy got 5 talents. The one guy got 1. He says, I'm not losing this or my master will whip me. So he does the most foolish thing in the world. He digs a hole and he puts it in the ground. And when the landlord comes back and he asks him, what'd you do with what I gave you? What does the landlord say? Well done, good and faithful service. You will now reap the reward. Your heavenly reward that I have waiting for you. It's that eternal perspective that makes it 10 times, 20 times, 100 times more. Why? Because that's how God works. And that's how God wants to work in you. And then Jesus makes it very clear, you know, we should all rejoice because when we get to heaven, there is a great reward waiting for us. It means you have to have a little patience. Have you noticed that discipline and patience go together? Have you noticed that obedience and patience go together? Now, like you, I'm not always obedient. And the Lord knows at times I am not a patient person. And we can look at ourselves very honestly, and we ought to, and we realize that, you know, we're all incomplete in one way or another. You know that when you go to marry someone, you are often attracted to a person who compliments and completes you. That's why they drive you crazy all the time. It's why. Oh, well, you know, I love you because you compliment and complete me. You fill the holes and the gaps and the blanks in my life. And sometimes that just bugs us. Doesn't it just bug you? We all have blanks in our lives, cracks in our lives, hurts in our lives, disappointments in our lives, brokenness in our lives. Sin in our lives. We all share a sense that we understand what it means to be besieged. And what we have a tendency to do is we want to cancel ourselves out. And we want to say, you know, we're really not good enough. Well, God is really great with people who don't understand that they're good enough. Why? They're usually humble. 2, they understand that there's a limit to human ability, smarts. They're the people that will call upon the name of the Lord because they know they don't have it and they need it.